Shane. How's it going?
Hey, man. Pretty good. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Do you know why?
No. Please tell me.
All right. Today is not our normal recording day, but that also means that it's October 1st and it's the beginning of spooky season.
You're a spooky kind of guy, Mike. I didn't know that. So is Halloween like your favorite holiday?
Oh, 10 out of 10. Best holiday ever. I love spooky memes. I love skeletons, all the good stuff. Hate horror films. They actually scare the crap out of me and I can't watch them. But I love the spooky aesthetic. Like cartoony Halloween is my vibe.
So you're kind of like a spooky poser.
I guess a little bit.
That's
but
super
you know what?
Funny.
I'm gonna stand by it and I'm okay with it.
So do you have a Halloween costume picked out this year already?
I do, and it's a surprise, but it's a throwback, and I think everybody who sees it is going to immediately recognize it and fall in love with what I'm going as.
Is it music related? Can I ask you that?
It is, oddly enough, music related.
Oh, okay.
But not in the way you'd think.
Spooky season is here. I love it. Yeah, and I know I called it a holiday, and technically it's not a holiday. I know. But it is fantastic. And yeah, I don't know. I always struggle with like going with something more classic or trying to be like the cool guy that thinks of the like super current thing that, you know.
Trying to be a trendsetter or something like that. And it's always this like weird thing where it's like, is this relevant enough still? Like I had the idea earlier on that I was going to go as like kind of like Gen Z vampire and I would call myself Count Dabula, but I'm like, is that really relevant enough right now? I don't know. So I chose something else that was a little more classic.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Like, I mean, the amount of Tiger King costumes they're going to be.
Oh,
and it's like,
going to be bad.
Come on. Like that was so March, dude. Come on.
Last year, I didn't have a costume, actually, and it was amazing because right before Halloween, My Chemical Romance announced the reunion. So I just took a piece of paper and drew the like Black Parade marching guy from the album art and wrote My Chemical Romance and put it on the back of a denim vest and said I was a really excited My Chemical Romance fan.
Yeah.
That worked out pretty well.
Oh, that sounds terrible, Mike. No, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was. Oh, my God. 100%.
Well, maybe if you strap on a pink guitar and stand in front of a emptied pool. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Are you talking about my boy Machine Gun Kelly and his new album Tickets to My Downfall?
Oh, I am talking about your boy Machine Gun Kelly, who last week I don't know if I could say crowned, because that's not the right word when we're talking about most anticipated albums, but you gave that album the most anticipated title, and you could not have been more right. This album is so polarizing. Everyone is talking about it.
It's insane.
We have to give it some time, I think, to, you know, because this isn't just like, oh, do we like it or not? Should you check it out or not if you missed it last week? This is like, there's a lot to digest with this record. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, this is kind of like a pop culture moment in a way. And I like could downplay this a little more than I am, but I don't think that I should, because this is not like, this is definitely, if not something people are going to talk about for album of the year, it's definitely biggest splash of the year.
Oh yeah. And the way that I look at this, like the way you worded it, biggest splash. Exactly. And I think that this album, it's not my favorite pop punk album ever. It doesn't have my favorite pop punk songs on it, but I really like this album. It's a really solid pop punk album, and I think it's a damn wake-up call, if I'm being honest, to all the older pop punk bands. It's better than the last Blink-182 album. It's better than the last Green Day album. It's better than the last Newfound Glory album, right? Like, I don't know. It's not the perfect pop punk record, but it's fun. It's goofy at times. Like, but it's also serious with some of the songs on there. I forget the names of them, but like one of them ends with Machine Gun Kelly's dad talking about how he was born with his umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then like you go to these songs like Concert for Aliens and they're just like fun, straight up pop punk bangers. And like, I don't know. What were your thoughts?
No,
more specifically?
I think you hit the nail on the head, Mike, to be honest. explained last week that Machine Gun Kelly is the most confusing artist in the world, and
mm-hmm.
this album was actually less confusing for me than I thought it was going to be, and I really enjoyed the record. I put it on, I had a little bit of skepticism, and it pretty much grabbed yep. me right away and didn't let me go, and when it was over, I wanted to hear it again. And this record, you're right in that it isn't the best album ever. But, you know, like, you could say the same thing about Three Cheers for Revenge. Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, yeah. whatever the hell that record's called. Like, that record yep. has gone down as a classic now. People love that record. People call it a perfect album and all that. But when that came out, like, Gerard mm-hmm. Way's vocals, they were perfect because they kind of weren't perfect. You know, they weren't
exactly.
super polished. Like, there was an attitude there. There was a life there. There was, like, there was an expression. And is Machine Gun Kelly the best singer in the world? Absolutely not.
Hell no.
But there's something here yeah. where the record is good, but not too good. And it's bad, but not too bad. And it really just sort yeah, of like, works as, like, this cohesive album that... It seems like he went out, he wanted to do, it was his vision. He got his friend Travis Barker to play drums, who absolutely kills it on this record.
Oh, Travis Barker is just absolutely insane. He's a monster throughout this
I mean, he's
record.
He's great on everything he does. But, like, yeah, he really, like, you can tell that this is in his wheelhouse, you know? And then, mm-hmm. you know, the songs are great, the production is great, and I really didn't, like, I wanted to come in blazing this week and... fucking talk shit and whatever, but I
you can't do it, and it makes it great.
I can't do it, and I have become a fan of this guy, and I like what he's done. And this isn't because, like, I've heard so many people talking about how this is going to be like the underground music, pop punk, punk rock, whatever. This is going to be the savior of the scene or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't
no, it's
at
not.
All
it's a wake-up
why
call.
I like the record. I don't give a shit about that. I don't even think that's necessarily true. Sure, it will turn some heads, younger people. Maybe they don't know who Operation Ivy is. Maybe they'll check them out. I highly doubt it.
Yep.
That I gotta say, when that song came on, I was like, oh my god, like, I've never cringed harder, but it won me over at the end. I was like, ah, fuck it, it's kind of cool, I kind of like it.
Yep.
You know, but I digress. But no, I really don't care about the whole idea of this album being important in terms of, like, getting back the scene, man, that we lost, like, No More Warp Tour.
No.
Machine Gun Kelly's gonna save it. I don't care, and I'm not, like, worried about it, and I don't feel like I got any skin in the game anyway, but
mm-hmm.
this album is a must listen. You nailed it, Mike, and I mean, this could be album of the year. It really could.
And something I want to feature on too, like, we mentioned Travis Barker going on this entire album, but, like, the features on this album are perfect because they're artists that, like, I don't go out of my way. Like, I listen to Black Bear. That's the only one I would say, but, like, I don't go out of my way to listen to Trippie Redd or Ian Dior or artists like that. Mm-hmm. But their features are just absolutely perfect on this record. Whatever they did, they came on and all of a sudden, they're just like, oh, we're writing a pop punk record. I've always wanted to try that. And they just fit perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite song, honestly, is Forget Me Too with Halsey. When she comes yeah. in, that song is just absolutely incredible and, like, rips me every time from whatever I'm doing and I pay attention to that song. And then, like, I don't know if you saw, the deluxe edition is already out. It got released yesterday,
I didn't have a chance to check it out, but I heard about it. I heard there's a song with Burt from The Used on there.
And Youngblood's on that song, too.
Oh, okay.
Youngblood is absolutely amazing. If you really liked this Machine Gun Kelly record and you don't know who Youngblood is, he's honestly one of the other people taking the kind of alternative hip-hop, like, scene by storm right now. And honestly, it's also weird because it kind of sounds like a Fall Out Boy song. Like, it sounds like Dance Dance.
Yeah, almost. I read that in the press release. I thought that was interesting. I've never in all my years heard of someone releasing a song and being like, oh yeah, this is like, we kind of ripped off this other song. That's why it's not on the record. Yeah. I like really appreciated that honesty.
Yeah. And it was so funny because like, MGK posted when he's like, hey, the deluxe edition is out now. Like, I was just waiting on the call from like Pete Wentz and Patrick Stump to like say that this song was okay and not too much of a ripoff. Like,
oh, that's
and
very
like,
funny.
That is punk almost, where it's like, I'm just going to fucking rip off this other dude and just have some fun with it, right? Like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that, but I'll tell you, when the Halsey song came on and that verse started, I'll be honest, I thought it was Kellen Quinn at first.
I mean, you wouldn't be far off. Kellen Quinn has... So I keep track of this because Kellen Quinn is a prolific feature and he's always trying to capture the magic of that King for a Day feature. Kellen Quinn has featured on 8 different band songs so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's maybe more.
Just incredible.
I think there's maybe more coming with the Featured X stuff, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Shout out to FeaturedX.com. Well, dude, great. I mean, yeah, great record. And we could talk about it literally the whole episode, but we do have to get into some of the new records this week, which you have curated a list for us.
We're not getting into the new records, actually, because. In my opinion, last week I was wrong, and I didn't choose the best album last week, and I just need to shout out this band real quick. I found out about them on Friday, and it's this band from England called Svalbard, and their new album, When I Die, Will I Get Better? They're kind of like ambient hardcore black metal, if you like Thornhill, Loath, or Sleep Token. This album caught me by surprise. I'd never heard of this band, and it's absolutely incredible, and you need to go listen to it.
What's the name of the band again, so people don't miss it?
So they're called Svalbard. It's S-V-A-L-B-A-R-D. Absolutely incredible. It's an album of the year contender for me, like number one or number two, I think.
Well, that's very cool, Mike. I appreciate you you coming back and giving the people that information. I don't think I've ever heard of this band. Where are they from?
Yeah. They're from the UK.
Oh, right.
Somewhere
you said
in
that.
England. I don't know. Yeah. And just crazy good. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with black metal, where it's these kind of like haunting, like long riffs where they're just playing like the same chord over and over again and like very subtle shifts and everything like that. And then they've just got like almost, what's the word? Like being as an ocean, the vocalists sound similar when they're screaming. It's like that over the black metal, and it's haunting, and the lyricism is just phenomenal, and I can't recommend the album more.
Very cool, very cool. No, I'm looking at them here on Spotify. They did a split with a band called The Tidal Sleep, which is a band that we toured with in Germany many years ago. Great band, so I could definitely see this being something to check out. Svalbard. And it looks like they've been a band for a while. They've got some music from way back in 2012 and everything, maybe some older stuff. So, yes. Great pick, Mike. Once again, are we ready, though, for this week's music?
I think we are.
All right, let's jump in.
So coming in at number 5 this week, probably the poster child of the alternative metal slash scene, Metal Injection's favorite boy, we've got Corey Taylor releasing his new album, CMFT.
Yes, Corey, I assume this stands for Corey motherfucking Taylor. Is this correct?
Oh, I am. Yeah, definitely does. One of the songs is also Corey motherfucking Taylor Must Be Stopped, featuring Tech N9ne, one of my favorite hip hop artists.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I've got thoughts on this.
Yeah, I do, too. I'll let you go first, though.
I'm really interested because, like, I love Corey Taylor. I love old Slipknot. Not as much new Slipknot. I love early Stone Sour. Not as much new Stone Sour. But I'm happy that he's breaking out and doing his own thing. That said, it's also kind of got the like corny dad vibe to it, where it's like Corey motherfucking Taylor Must Be Stopped or whatever. And like stuff like that. Like, it just seems a little cringe, I guess. Or like, he's also got a song like Highway 666. And it's like, okay, like leaning a little too hard into it at some points.
Right.
But
right. Well, I've heard,
I think it's going to be a good album.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of the songs on the radio, I think, actually, like already. Mm-hmm. I think here, you know, we live very close together and we have the same radio station, 89X.
89X.
Shout out to our boys over there and girls over there. Great station. And they've been playing it. And I dig the tune. And I think you're right in that, you know, Slipknot filled such a specific niche, you know, mm-hmm. the mask thing and the kind of music and everything.
Just and the then, industrial sound.
Right.
Really.
Well, yeah. And then Stone Sour was like everything that wasn't, but it also filled like a specific kind of niche too, right? Mm-hmm. And like both those bands, in some ways, it's a little bit limiting, I feel, as to what you can do. So him coming out with a solo project, I assume that'll be, you know, quite a bit different from those bands, and the single seems to reflect mm-hmm. that, makes sense to me. And on a personal yep. note, so I have a little bit of a Corey Taylor story. We've never toured with Slipknot or anything, and I don't know him, but mm-hmm. we were doing this Soundwave festival in Australia. This is maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, the festival's interesting because they do 5 shows in 5 Australian major cities. But for people that don't yep. know, all the cities, the major cities in Australia are like very, very far away from each other. So you can't really...
Huge country.
Yeah, and they don't really have buses. So pretty much what happens is everybody gets on an airplane and you all fly together for the show, like in the morning or sometimes after the show. So you're talking about like a, you know, 737, like, you know, decent sized airplane, and it's 100% mm-hmm. full of band dudes. And like, it could be kind of
just
funny.
A great thought.
I mean, yeah, like there was this one time where I don't know if somebody was taking the piss or whatever, but it was like we had all these lead singers in a row. Like in the one row, it was like me and Craig Owens and Anthony from Bayside and Steven from Anne Berlin. Like it was an entire row, and everyone's like, "Oh, fucking lead singer syndrome in this row over here." But another time, another one of the flights, I was in a middle seat, and I sat beside this guy. He's wearing sunglasses, and I didn't know who he was. I talked to him the entire like 3-hour flight. And I did not stop laughing. Funniest person I've ever talked to. I had no mm-hmm. idea who he was, and I lapped my ass off. And then at the end of the flight, we landed, and he turned his phone on, and I like just sort of saw out of the corner of my eye, like he was answering like Slipknot emails, and I kind of like looked at him, and I was like, well, I don't know. I think that might be the guy from Slipknot, right? Because I don't know. They're always wearing a fucking mask.
Yeah.
But that dude is hilarious. I have never laughed harder ever than that guy made me laugh for 3 hours. So I don't
I'm
know.
Sure of it.
I wish this was a comedy record, right. Honestly, because the guy has it.
And honestly, every experience I've ever had with Corey Taylor, like outside of Slipknot or Stone Sour, like whenever I've seen him talk, like articles, he just seems like a dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know about funny and everything like that, but like he just seems kind of real. And that's where I think kind of these song titles might come from. And they're a little corny, but they're just him. And that's why I'm really excited for this record.
Right on. All right. Number 4.
Number 4. Have you ever heard of a band, their alternative called Acceptance?
Of course, yeah, of course. I always get told I look like the guitar player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like forever. Yeah. People are like, you look just like the guitar player for Acceptance. I've never met them or toured with them, but yeah, they made a huge splash. Like they're super influential, especially, you know, kind of in the Christian mm-hmm. Christian world. I think they had that tag on them.
Yep. Well, they've got their new album, Wild Free. I don't know if it's an album, actually, because earlier this year they had an EP called Wild.
Okay.
And they're just kind of like combining it with the second half. And they're like, oh, that EP, that was just the A side, I guess. And now it's like a full album. But overall, I really enjoyed that EP. And I think this album's going to be really good for anybody who kind of wants alternative with light pop punk vibes, light post hardcore vibes. And it's just kind of almost ambient is this sound that I want to say that they're going for, where everything just it's almost like Biffy Clyro, where it's just kind of like there and chill, if that makes sense, at least this new music.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I think that I feel like the band was around like in the early 2000s and then they broke up and like they, mm-hmm. they took like at least a 10-year break. So, I mean, this is great to see them back. And
yeah, that sounds right.
People love this band. I mean, they have diehard fans. So I think it's a great pick.
Sweet.
Shall we move on? Number 3.
So, I think so. I mean, I don't have a lot to talk about Acceptance. Like, yeah. I'm pretty new to the band, and I know they have a kind of long catalog. So, I don't know. I'm really excited for this album, but I can't really talk on it a lot.
No. I don't even think they have a long catalog, just an old catalog, you know? I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
So it's always interesting to see, you know, a band that started young and kind of broke up, and then they got back mm-hmm. to it because they really loved it, you know? And here they are making new music in 2020. I'm actually looking at the pictures of them now and seeing if I look like any of them. Yeah, I kind of do look like that guy. I could tell which one. Yeah, he's got a bit of a...
I can too. I'm looking at it
and
right
he's
now.
Got a, yeah, the guy on the far right? Yeah, yeah, he's got a bit of a facial hair going on, thing going on too. And yeah, I can see it.
He's got a bit more of an undercut than you, but I can see it.
Yeah, well, hey, I can get one, man.
Oh, you can. I mean, you just got a haircut the other week, though, so you got to wait at least a little
bit.
I just
got one the other day, actually, yes. Yes, shout out to the City Barbershop, Windsor, Ontario, the best. All right, lots of shout outs today. It's good. All right, let's get in. Number three.
Number three, my childhood hero is putting out his new album called 2020. It's Bon Jovi. How do you feel about Bon Jovi?
I fucking love Bon Jovi. Love him. I always have, like, always ranks up there as possibly the greatest love song ever written. I love his, like, older shit, too. You know, Living on a Prayer and Bad Medicine and all that stuff, too. And over the mm-hmm. years, I feel like he's sprinkled in some pretty good tunes. Now, I will say this. I have heard a couple of the new singles, and I'm not feeling them. Like, the one is full-on country, dude.
I mean... He put out a country album. I think he's just kind of vibing with whatever music he wants to make.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
He's also got a song, I don't know if it got on the radio, called American Reckoning, where he just gets uber political about everything going on in America right now. And I'm obviously not going to get into it, but I think it's a absolutely beautiful take on what society is going through. And he talks about it pretty much really well, everything going on with all the protests and everything. And I don't know, I've just always loved Bon Jovi. I love his voice. Richie Sambora is an amazing guitarist. Like, I'm so excited for this album.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to hear your thoughts on it next week. I might check it out. You know, it's I'm kind of on the fence. I mm-hmm. love Bon Jovi for the nostalgia and the history, and I think some of those songs are really, really great. In terms of getting into a new Bon Jovi record in 2020, it might be a hard sell for me. And I mean, you brought up the songs, and I don't know all the names of them, but I felt like one of them, he was saying, it was like the lyric started, it was like, America's on fire, there's protests in the street.
Yeah, that's American Reckoning.
Okay, and I felt like that was a little too on the nose, and maybe it's just a little too real right now. I don't know, but I really do respect that, first of all, he's going out on a limb and doing this because no one's forcing him to, you know. And, you know, I think it's important that he's saying something if he believes in it. So good for him.
Yep. And I feel like I have to listen to it, too, because this is going to sound like a weird story, but Bon Jovi is the reason I'm an emo kid.
Okay.
My first ever concert back in like 2005, Bon Jovi is touring, and I don't know who the opening bands are or anything. My mom is just like, hey, you're going to see Bon Jovi with me. And I'm like, okay, 100%, let's go. I love Bon Jovi. And all of a sudden, for the first band, all the lights come down, and it's the intro riff to Dirty Little Secret by All American Rejects.
Wow.
And like that happens, and all of a sudden, there's this glint in my eye, and I start looking up pop punk and emo bands, and oh my God, here we are today.
That is so funny. Yeah, that's such an odd opener for Bon Jovi. You know those guys are just so excited to do that tour. And we're like, sure, whatever. How much? $100 a night? Yeah, let's go. We're tour playing arenas with Bon Jovi. It's sick. Or stadiums. I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
where was the show?
They were playing the Palace.
Okay, so, yeah. Very big arena. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, oh, that's funny.
Amazing.
I have kind of an interesting All-American Rejects story. Since this is episode seems to be taking all kinds of twists and turns, let's just keep it going. So I went to Hellfest in Syracuse. I think it was mm-hmm. okay. It was either Hellfest in Syracuse, or it was the New England Metal and Hardcore Fest in Worcester, Mass. I can't remember.
Absolutely, absolutely love New England Metal
and Hardcore. Yes, it was
great.
It was one of the two. And this is like way back. This is 2001, I think, or 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in those days, all the labels would put out these CD samplers, right? So you'd get, you know, they take a song from all their releases and they put it on the CD and they give it away for free. So that hopefully you'd listen to it and go, oh, I like this song. I like, are these songs, and I'll order these records from this label. So I was at, you know, just walking around, like getting all the free shit, the free stickers and the free sampler CDs, and, you know, went to the Metal Fest or Hell Fest or whatever. I get back in the car and I'm on my way home to Toronto, and I'm listening to one of these sampler CDs from Doghouse Records. And I'll be honest, the entire, it might have even been a split. It might have been Doghouse and another label. So I get through, like, you know, this compilation CD, and it's not like really good. Like, nothing is really grabbing me.
And, as most of them are, honestly.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. And I get down to like track fucking 18 or whatever on this thing. Mm-hmm. And there's this song, Swing Swing, by All American Rejects. And
God, that's still my favorite All American Rejects.
Oh, man. So I remember hearing this song. And first of all, like, Doghouse Records wasn't like a metal label or whatever. So the song wasn't that out of place on the record. But I was like, what the fuck is this song? Who the fuck is this band? What is going on? I got home. I went on my primitive internet computer. I looked up everything I could find on the All American Rejects, which was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They were nothing. There was nothing about them anywhere. Like, I went to Doghouse Records. It was like, I don't know if they even had a picture of the band. There was no information. I ended up finding out that they were from Oklahoma. That's all the only information I knew about.
So weird.
I knew about the band. I feel like the record wasn't out yet, or they weren't even selling the record. It was that song and another one from that record. And literally, I kind of at some point threw my hands up and went, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know who this fucking band is. And I forgot about it. Completely forgot all about it until, honestly, maybe like a year later. And I'm driving in my car going to university, listening to 102.1 The Edge Toronto, shout out to them, and fucking Swing Swing comes on the radio. I had to pull the car over. I was like, what on earth? Like, I was so confused. I was like, I know this song. Why do I know this song?
Oh my god, it's from
that compilation. Oh my god, I searched everything about this band. Like, oh my god, they're on the fucking radio? And the recording was the same. It wasn't like they redid it. It was like the same recording. And, you know,
they just exploded.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that it was over, man. They that record went platinum, and then the record you're referring to, the second album, was even bigger, and the band's awesome, and they continue to be. But yeah, sorry for the
rant. And then
they
disappeared.
But it is just like such a crazy thing. I felt like I was the only person in the world that knew this band. And maybe I was like, who knows? I don't know. I never had Tyson on the show. I'd love to ask him about that.
Well, I mean, they're putting out new music again.
Yeah.
They put out an EP last year that is absolutely chock full of bangers.
Yeah.
And I think they're working on getting an album or something together. Like, I saw the band play at Warped Tour last year in California. Like, they're doing stuff and making moves.
Awesome. So. Yeah, I know. They're a great band. They're terrific. He's unbelievable. And they're great live. They got it all, man. The total package. Sadly, somehow Bon Jovi turned into All American Rejects. But
I mean, it happens. Go listen to the new Bon Jovi record.
Well, we got two more on the countdown. What's number two, Mike?
Number two, it's this little band from the UK. I don't know if they're little. I actually think they're... This is my first experience with them, and I think they're kind of blowing up in the UK.
You like to say this little band. You like, I don't know. It's just like a thing you do.
Maybe.
And I'm like, I every time I'm like, okay, he doesn't like literally mean this little band. He means like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why you do that, but you do that.
I don't know. It's said kind of sarcastically, but it's also like, I just don't know how big the band actually is. But it's this band called The Hunna, and they're releasing a new album called I'd Rather Die Than Let You In.
Yikes.
Have you ever heard of this band?
Yeah. I think this band's great. I feel like, for people that need a description, I'm sure people in the UK know them because I think they are pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like, I would describe them, at least their first album or their older music, as like a more punk Kings of Leon.
Yeah, I would say that 100%.
Yeah, like a scene Kings of Leon. Like, they've got that vibe. But the singles that they've released are kind of like electronic. Like, they don't have real drums and stuff on them. Like, maybe more pop influence. I'm not really sure.
The first
what's
single, Travis Barker features on it.
I missed you. What'd you say?
The first single, Travis Barker features on it.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And that's how I got into them, because I'm just scrolling through Release Radar on Friday or whatever, making sure everything's good. And like, I see this like Travis Barker feature. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I put it on. I'm just like, the song's called Cover You. And I'm just like blown away. Like, wow, this is fucking amazing. And like, that was, God, February, I want to say.
Right.
And now they're like finally releasing the album. And I couldn't be more stoked for this. I think it's this cool, like, it's almost like Imagine Dragons or something in that vein, but taken a little bit more poppy, but with still with this like tinge of like punk in it. And the songwriting is really well done. The lyricism is great in everything that I've heard. I can't wait for this album.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see the turns that they take here on a full record, because like we've talked about in previous episodes of the show, and of course, people can go back and listen to, you know, all mm-hmm. the installments of this if they want to, you know, find out some more new music to listen to. This is what we've done, like 6 or 7, 8 of these episodes now.
Yeah, we're at almost 2 months now.
Yeah, yeah. So people can go back and listen. But, you know, we do talk about how singles before a record comes out can be sort of detrimental to understanding
yep.
how they're fitting into an album and how it kind of all works. And I feel like with this new release from The Hunna, it really could be that case where I'm hearing these songs being like, oh, this is different from their old stuff, and I don't really know where this fits in. But when, you know, maybe in the context of an album, you know, the album mm-hmm. tracks are going to really kind of solidify everything into its place.
Yeah, and I definitely think that's the case too, because I love all of these singles, but they definitely don't fit together. Like, you know how Spotify like puts all the singles together whenever they release a new single, the old ones are just under it. Like, I can't just play that and have a good time. Like, the songs need to be shuffled in so that I can have like a transitionary period. But I feel like with the full album and the way things are going to stack up, it's going to flow really well.
Yeah. Well, they just do that to get more streams. That's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, what do they call it? Waterfalling or whatever?
Try and get on as many playlists as possible, too, with the different types of singles.
Oh, yeah, like, dude. Playlisting is like everything. There's entire departments at record labels now just with that mm-hmm. job. It's like it's like the new radio. So, yeah, it's that's the game, my friend. Well, it's time. Let's get into the number one album of the week after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mike, we're back.
We are? Oh, crap, I should get dressed.
Yes, put on something. Put on your Halloween costume a little early. Wear it for the next 31 days.
What am I talking about? It's stinky.
What am I talking about?
This is a weird episode, dude.
I like it. I prefer it. Well,
we're really hitting our stride.
Speaking of weird episodes, let's get into the number one album. You hinted at what it might be. I'm just waiting for confirmation. What is it, Mike?
All right, so the new album coming out of Gothenburg in Sweden is Amaranth with their new album Manifest.
This must be some kind of black metal of some kind, I assume.
It's power metal.
Oh, okay.
So kind of close. What they're doing is two vocalists, female and male, doing awesome dynamics and harmonies. If you like Nightwish or Battle Beast, stuff like that, I think you'll like this. But what they're kind of doing is they're making power metal, and they're still kind of singing power metal-y things. They're talking about like archangels and swords and stuff. But they're almost taking this octane-y, and I use this verb sometimes, like octane-y, where it's like SiriusXM Octane, where it's just the kind of music that gets played there.
Right.
And they're putting an octane-y spin on power metal. So like the riffs are a bit simpler. There's not really like guitar solos or breakdowns or anything like that, but the riffs are just kind of chuggy, and it's more focused on the vocals and what's going on there. But every single that they've put out just absolutely jams. Like the catchiest stuff I've heard in a long time coming out of power metal.
That's cool. I think that's cool, and I'm glad you made a pick like this for number one. And you're right, like the power metal genre, it really is for fans of power metal. There are
super niche.
Very few bands that really can make a successful transition out of it. In fact, I can't really think of any. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually really interested to check this out to kind of see what a power metal band that can be like a little more, you know, stripped down,
modern,
have a little more pop sensibility in their music. Mm-hmm. That might actually win me over.
Yeah, and I think it will actually win a lot of people over, because I definitely get, I try showing people power metal, right? It's one of my favorite genres because it's so weird and goofy, and I just love it. And people just can't get into it. Like, it's too theatrical sometimes, and this kind of, it's still there, but they strip a lot of it away. And I think it's just a modern power metal sound, and I'm just really excited to hear the whole album myself and hear what other people think about it too, because I think this might be one of the first times that a power metal band kind of breaks out.
Yeah, no, it'll be very interesting to see. I'm looking on their Spotify, and it seems like Europe is where people are into this band. Their mm-hmm. top five markets are Helsinki, Finland, Stockholm, Sweden, Oslo, Norway, Gothenburg, Sweden, and Tampere, Finland. So seems like that's the neck of the woods they call yep. home, and where they're popular, and it'll be interesting to see if they make some flashes, you know, over here.
I really hope so. I mean, I forget when the single came out. It's called Viral. Let me look real quick. It came out in like July or something like that, and it has been on my playlist consistently. Whenever it comes on in the car, I put the windows down and I blast my music so everybody can hear it, and I sing along. I'm that guy, sorry. But like, it is just such a good song, and every single I've just loved, and I can't wait for this album. It's gonna be fun.
All right, well, that's awesome. Well, man, we did it. That is the list. That is the top five most anticipated. Let's do a quick recap, because that was all over the place.
Oh yeah. So number five, we've got CMFT from Corey Taylor.
Yep, number four.
Number four, we've got Wild Free from Acceptance.
Number three.
We've got 2020 from Bon Jovi, not All American Rejects.
Yes, and not Knuckle Puck either. And no. Number two?
Number two, we've got I'd Rather Die Than Let You In by The Hunna.
That's an intense album cover, album title right there, man.
It really is.
Yes. I don't know about the album cover. I've not seen the artwork, but an intense title. And number one is
Manifest by Amaranth.
Amaranth at number one this week. Okay, any other things we missed, couldn't get to in the top five, deluxe, etc.?
So all the things I kind of want to mention this week are singles that are coming out that I'm really excited for. I know you are a fan of Dayseeker.
Oh, yeah.
I assume.
Oh, my God. What a singer. Unbelievable. So vocalist.
Rory, the vocalist, has a side project called Hurt Wave. They're releasing kind of an EP, one song at a time. I think every couple of weeks, a single is coming out today for you guys. It's absolutely incredible. If you love his voice, you'll love this. It's kind of synth poppy, which is weird, but also I vibe with.
No, I'm cool with that. I think, you know, his voice is so strong, and in the context of Dayseeker being a heavy band, it really sets them apart. But I definitely have listened to Dayseeker, and especially like when they did the Adele cover, you know, like listening to that band and being like, man, I would love to hear his voice, you know, with a different, you know, canvas behind it. Cause like he's unbelievable. So yeah, that's very good pick. So I'm surprised it didn't make the top five. I guess because it's still a series of singles.
Yeah, when the EP drops, we will talk there about it. Do not there worry. I've also got a new single coming, which actually came out today, Thursday, so you can definitely see it tomorrow, from Less Than Jake.
Yes,
I absolutely love ska. It's such a weird market nowadays, and there's just not a lot of bands in there, so whenever I do get to hear new ska, I'm just very excited for it.
No, for sure. And Less Than Jake, I mean, they're just call them a ska band at this point would be selling them a little bit short.
Oh, it would
pun
be,
intended. But no, the band is awesome. They're legends, absolute legends. I think people can expect them to be on the podcast very soon. I think I can spill the beans on that. And I'm always excited to see what they do. They've managed to keep their sound. You know it's Less Than Jake when you hear the band, but they've still really made some great evolution over the years. And I think that's why they're still here.
There's memes about how recognizable their sound is. Like, whatchamacallit? I miss Warped Tour because at any point I could listen and hear Less Than Jake in the distance. Yeah. Or like those kind of memes.
Right,
like,
right. People are so not funny. Wrong. That happened to me so many times.
Oh, I'm sure of it, dude. Like, because they're the only band that played more than you guys did, right?
There's a couple, but yeah, they're number one, undisputed champs. They spent, they did over 1 year of Warped Tour. Like if you add up all the shows, they did more than 365 dates, which is like bonkers.
Is insane.
Yeah. Like they're the, you know, Wayne Gretzky of bands on Warped Tour. Fucking make
wonderful.
Like they hold all the records. But yeah, we're in the top five, I think. But they're miles ahead of everybody else.
So just a couple other quick singles. I think the Russian band that I like called Wild Ways is putting out a new song.
Damn, you don't hear about a lot of Russian bands.
No, you don't. And this band is really fun. They're kind of like Dropout Kings, Attila, E-Callboy, things like that, where it's just kind of like fun, goofy metalcore. I love bands like that. There's a new single from this kind of almost Architects-like metalcore band called Landmarks that I absolutely love.
Yep.
They're putting that out, and I think they're announcing an album tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure. We'll see what happens. Hope they're announcing an album. And the thing I'm actually most excited for, singles-wise, next week is Spirit Box. Have you heard of Spirit Box?
Oh, absolutely. Big fan.
Good. So they're re-releasing their single, Holy Roller.
Yeah.
And it's now featuring Rio from Crystal Lake, which is absolutely one of the best metalcore vocalists in the scene right now. His live performances are just insanely good. The intensity is just there. And I am really excited to hear how they kind of fit him into this, because Holy Roller is one of my favorite songs so far this year. It's super heavy and super catchy, and the music video is great, which is something I don't say a lot in 2020. You don't see amazing
music
videos.
No, you sure don't.
Like, this music video is creepy, and I love it.
Yeah.
Because it just, it's got an aesthetic.
No, absolutely. We had Courtney on the show just a few weeks back. Great episode. She was so highly requested. You know, she does the videos of her, the one-take vocal videos, which are incredible.
Yep.
She's just what a talent. And, yeah, I think this is great. It's putting some more eyeballs on a band that really deserves it. But, of course, for me, like, from a purist perspective, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the song. Like, why do this? Like, it's not Old Town Road. We don't need 20 versions of it. You know what I mean? But I think it's
the
cool.
The whole quarantine thing, too. Like, everybody's just bored and they want to do something. And I think it's also Spirit Box just getting signed to Rise, or, well, Rise acquiring their label, I think.
Yep.
And But like a lot of bands have done this. Like we got the Fit for a King We Come as Romans collab, where they released a merch line and they redid Backbreaker and Carry the Weight with each other's vocalists featuring. Like we've gotten this a couple of times throughout this year, and I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm here for it. Give me another version of the song.
Yes. Well, you did miss a very important release this week, Mike.
What did I
Nickelback,
miss?
All the Right Seasons, the 15th anniversary expanded edition.
You know, I did see that, and I try not to talk about deluxe editions because I like promoting newer music, but...
But this is expanded, Mike. All the songs, Nickelback songs that you haven't heard, you get to hear them now.
If I said I wasn't excited for Nickelback re-releasing this album, I would be a liar. Because legit, Nickelback gets a ton of hate for no reason.
Oh, there's plenty of reason.
Like, oh, there definitely are. You're right. But like, there's still some songs that are just nostalgic bangers, like Photograph and Animals and stuff like that.
Oh my
like,
God.
I remember.
I can't believe
being,
we're talking
like,
about Nickelback right now. I was kidding.
I remember being 12 and just like riding in the car, like going to school, and those were just like, when you're so young, those kind of jams are just nostalgic, and I absolutely. Level
right back. Right well that's the pro see you were 12 I was 22 or whatever and I was yeah and I was just like oh god like yeah if you want to hear a song that will absolutely make you laugh and cringe and whatever just maybe I mean I really don't want to promote Nickelback at all
we're already here Shane
look up the song called Sex. This song
I know exactly what you're
is
talking
very
about.
Problematic. I mean, it is kind of like the music is kind of banging, to be honest, but the lyrics are oh dear Lord.
So bad.
I'm not sure what album it's on, but yeah.
I don't remember.
Anyway, there is a deluxe Nickelback version. They probably literally opened a vault. There probably was a vault somewhere. They had to go and turn one of those giant handles to get...
They all had to put in their keys at the same time in order to get
yes,
it to open.
Yes, to get these additional, like, probably three tracks that didn't make the record or whatever. Or I don't know, they're probably just, like, mixes. They probably got 30 guys to mix the record and pick
there's
the
a
best one.
There's a bunch of, like, live songs on it, too, I think. Like, live recordings, which is interesting choice. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. There's also Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, 25th anniversary vinyl reissue.
Ooh.
There you go. If you like Wonderwall, there you go.
Dope.
Mike, we did it. What a weird episode, but I enjoyed it, to be honest.
We took a long time to do it this week.
Yeah, we did. It was worth the wait. We the longest episode yet, and lots of weird tangents. And, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't even had any coffee. That's the amazing part.
Neither have I. Just water for me this morning.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, we did the thing. Mike, thanks so much. And I can't wait for next week to talk to you about all of these albums.
I can't wait either. I'll talk to you later, Shane.
Take care, man. All this new shit. Got a new whip. That's some new ice. That's some new drip. Got rid of my old trash. Got a new bitch. All this new shit. Yeah. All this new shit. Yeah. All this new shit. Got a new whip. That's some new ice, that's some new drip, yeah. Got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit.